No, this is not.
Up and several more, and so I was making notes and said, well, this is going to be my message for tomorrow. And she said, wow, I feel honored. I get to be the first one to hear your message before they do. So let's turn to Isaiah 26. Art's not here, so I can't kid him about it. We had the men's prayer on Wednesday morning. We were memorized, kind of started a deal trying to memorize a verse of the week. A few weeks ago, it was Psalm 25:6. And then a couple of weeks later, I mentioned this Isaiah 26:3, and I've been reading it, kind of got it memorized. But it just really struck something with me, and I come up with some other verses at the jail yesterday, so I want to share these with y'all. The title of it's going to be, let's come up with Peace of God, or the opposite to it, Earthly Peace, or Real Peace of Mind. Let's read this verse and we'll pray. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I'm going to go ahead and read 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Well, let's pray, and then I'm going to talk to you some about peace. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege to be up here and talk about you, my Lord and Savior, that saved me 22 years ago. What an honor it is to be your ambassador. May you bless this time. May your Holy Spirit lead me and guide me. Let these folks hear from you. Thank you and bless these visitors. Thank you for them being here. Pray that you would send your Holy Spirit blessing upon Barry and all his situation with the treatments and the sickness. And just be with him, be with Nancy, be with Lauren, be with Brett, be with Mason. Help them all, and I just pray you bless them. And thank you for the rains recently. Thank you for the cooler weather. And again, I ask that you bless this time in your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After I was reading that, I noticed I backed up. I just kept focusing on verse 3, memorizing it right at first, and I just started reading more. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first 4 verses. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Stop. I do that with my guys in the prison. Let's look at that first. I didn't realize this was a song the Jews were singing in Judah. And I don't know all the I know it's to the Jews, it's Isaiah, it's prophecy, and a lot of different things. I'm going to apply it to us now. But he says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Some beautiful words. And then again, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Who? Well, talking God there, Lord God, thou wilt keep him. Who's the him? I'm going to apply it to born-again Christians, and I think it's talking to the Jews that knew the Lord, that's trusting in the Lord. I like the message Brian preached that one time about believe God and take him at his word, just like Abraham did about having a child when he's old, and the harlot and Jericho, and there's a bunch more of them. Noah, he believed God and did what God said. He built an ark. We're supposed to believe God and get born again. Trust on Jesus as our Savior. We're not going to build an ark. We're not going to do all those other things. We need to trust in Jesus Christ for him to save our souls. But there's a stipulation to that about having that perfect peace. Perfect isn't sinless. I like what Brian, how he described that to me that one day. But it's doing the right thing. Thou wilt keep him, the person, in perfect peace, the person whose mind is stayed on thee. So who's going to have perfect peace? Everybody? No. The ones whose mind is stayed on God. He's going to give us that perfect peace if we stay on Him. If we focus on our own stuff and this flesh and all the junk in the world and the cars and the TV and the clothes and the jobs and all this baloney, you know, we're not going to have perfect peace. We're going to be rat racing around chasing all the vainglory and the flesh, and that's not perfect peace. I'll share a couple other things about one of the guys at the jail yesterday, but I'll get to save that for in a minute. But who is this Him that has the perfect peace? It is one that is stayed on thee, the Lord, because He trusteth in thee. See, even describes it more. It's only to the ones that keeps his mind, that his mind is stayed on thee. There's that mind I mentioned in the beginning, peace of mind. Peace of mind, what you got, is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So it's a matter of trusting in the Lord and your mind staying on him, not staying on all the garbage in the world and chasing everything else and just running the rat race. We can have a perfect peace if we stay on him. I'm going to share some other applications. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Like I said, these thoughts were jumping in my head when I was preaching to the young lady yesterday at the jail, and I was waiting for her about 30 minutes because she had a visitation. I finished the guys, and so I'm walking around the room. I get tired of sitting there, so I'm walking around the little conference room where I preach to them, and I keep reading that verse, and I read the first 5 or 10 verses, and I'm reading it, and it just kept like, okay, I think that's supposed to be my message today. So what kind of peace do you want? Where will you get this peace? You know, you can't buy it at Walmart. You can't buy it at Dollar General or Dollar Tree or one of those places, or Family Dollar or Target. By the way, that's pretty cool. Walmart lets us do that because I got run out of Target escorted by a security guard. So they're not so kind and generous. I'd rather shop at Walmart there. They give us a blessing by letting us go and share there. So who is this? Where are you going to get this peace? When will you get it? Have you got it? How will you get it? Or will you ever get it? I got it 22 years ago when I got born again. But I've gotten a lot more since then, growing spiritually and passing out tracts, going house to house, witnessing to people. You talk about something that'll give you a more perfect peace. It's witnessing somebody even when you're scared, handing tracts out, and the more you do it, the more perfect peace you get. I'm jumping ahead of my message here, but you know, we'll have that. And he says, thou wilt keep him. If you get saved and you start growing for the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him, on thee, Lord God, because he trusteth in thee. The more you trust in him, the more he will keep your mind stayed on him. What a blessing to have that kind of peace. This peace comes through faith, trust, abiding, living out our faith. It is only available to a saved children of God. It's not available to lost people. This perfect peace, you got to be born again to have that. And you don't get it all immediately. You don't get it all. I don't say I've got it all, a lot of us. But we get more and more as we work for the Lord and be obedient to Him. Let's go to Philippians 2:12. And while you're going there, somehow mark that spot, because we're going to go back to it a couple more times. New Testament, after Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to do 3 or 4 more verses in that short little space of Philippians. So keep that spot marked, because I'm going to have you go to a couple other ones. Try not to do too many, Brian. Not so many verses. Philippians 2:12. I got to get the right page. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So even when Paul's not with them, he says, obey. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Very clearly notice he doesn't say work for your salvation. Just work it out. What do you do? You guys especially, y'all are doing your training, whatever. A lot of you exercising. I know Tony's doing the exercising. What are you doing? You work it out to grow your muscles, to grow stronger. He's saying here, work out your salvation all lackadaisically? No, with fear and trembling, just like you'd work out to play football or whatever you're going to do. And I'll never forget about 22 years ago, shortly after I got saved, I'm up at my mom and dad's, and they weren't saved. They were religious. And my daddy says, Alan, he says, read this verse. I said, okay. I said, wherefore, my beloved, he's talking to his children, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So when Paul wasn't there to baby him, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Dad said, well, what about that? I said, well, Daddy, it doesn't say work for your salvation. You don't get to go to heaven because you went to church enough times, or you did enough good deeds, or you did enough of this or that or the other. That kind of goes with the other message I was going to do on religion. It's not works. In Ephesians 2:8-9, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if it's a gift, there's a giver, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, but there's a recipient. But everybody's not a recipient. You must receive this gift personally to have it. If you haven't received it, you don't have it. But if you got it, then he says, work it out, just like you pound the weights or do the pull-ups. I put my pull-up bar up again after 5-6 years moving to this house. I finally put it up, and I've used it 2 or 3 times. I used to could do over 20 pull-ups. Now I might get 2. But you work out the muscles, you grow. If you work out your salvation, you grow. How do you work it out? Read your Bible, pray, go to church, fellowship with like believers, witness, hand out tracts, talk to your Savior. And if he's not your Savior yet, get saved. That's what I was telling the guys yesterday, that one group. You know, if you're not saved, you need this, because I shared this verse with them. You need to be born again. Otherwise, all this stuff I'm trying to tell you is like, you know, useless. If you're not his child, you got to become his child to grow. I use this example all the time. Not one of you in here could have grown 100 years ago, could you? Because you didn't exist. Your parents hadn't even thought of you yet. So how would you grow? But once you were born to mama, then you could grow. Now, if they'd never fed you, they never changed you, they'd have left you laying out in the cold weather, you'd have died. You know, if you get saved and you don't ever read your Bible, you're not going to grow. And reading your Bible and sharing your love of Jesus with somebody, witnessing, giving out a tract, yeah, it's a little scary at first. I was very scared the first time I gave one out. But it sure helps you grow, and the more I've done it, the more I grow. Doc, right? The more you do it, it's just like natural. It's just like eating supper or going to bed or going to the bathroom. You just do it, right? It becomes natural. But he says, work it out with fear and trembling. He saved me. I need to work it out with fear and trembling. The God that saved me came to earth 2,018 years ago. And I need to love him. I need to live for him. I tell them at the prison all the time. I said, I might not walk out of this room. You know, I'm not guaranteed another heartbeat, nor are you. So what are we going to do? You know, what do I want to be doing when he calls me home? Bam. You know, I don't want to be, you know, lazy, sleeping till noon. I don't want to be doing something stupid. I want to be obedient to him. So work it out with fear and trembling. Notice he doesn't say work for it. It says work it out, like exercise. The peace comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The more you work it out, the more peace he can give you. But it's working it out, the more he can fill you. Chapter 4, Philippians, verse 7. Chapter 4 in Philippians, verse 7. And the peace of God, whose peace? God's peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your katazon, and your minds through Christ Jesus. Not our peace, God's peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I can't comprehend it, but I trust it and I try to live it out. Shall keep your hearts and your minds. Remember, peace of mind. A lot of people say, well, I don't have any peace of mind. I'm nervous and I'm going crazy. Whatever. Well, he can give it to you. He said, he shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus said that he would supply all your need. Notice that. He didn't say a little piece of it. He didn't say a little or, you know, he said all your need. All your need through the Lord. That is real peace. Verse 19, same chapter 4 in Philippians, verse 19. But my God, who? My God. Yeah, he's my God. I made him personal when I asked him to save me and gave up on religion 22 years ago. He shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply it. If you're his child, you got to be his child before he can supply you all these things according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said he will supply all your need. If he's going to do that, what more peace can we ask for? The peace of God through Christ Jesus. Keep that spot because we're going to go right back into there a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. First book of the New Testament, Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Really want to focus on one verse, but I'm going to read you about three. Actually, let's read verse 33 first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I may not even get to the other ones. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does he say, seek first? The kingdom of God. And that's through Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll just tell you, he's talking about clothes and food, and why are you worrying about how much food you're going to have? He said he even supplies the birds with the seeds. Does the bird go out and plant a crop of corn? No. None of them. They don't go out and plant it, but they sure have the food. I plant some and they eat some of mine. But they don't plant. He says, I take care of them. You know, won't I provide for you? Okay, you say you got to go to work. Yeah, he says in the Old and New Testament, you have to work to eat. We're supposed to all work to eat. It's in the Bible. You know, we're not supposed to get freebies. We're supposed to have to work. But he said he will supply all our need if we're focusing on him. He said he's going to give us what we need. He said food and clothes and all the things that we need. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he'll take care of us. If we're busy looking for him, I told the guys at the jail, I said, you got a roof, right? It's raining, it's cold, my cows are out in wet, dirty pens and cold. I said, you got a roof, you got clothes, they provide it. You've got a place to live, and they provide you three meals a day. I said, that's pretty good. And we've all, you know, I don't know if anybody in America starves. I know they talk about it, but we supply stuff for most anybody that needs it. And God said he will take care of you. If you seek him first and his righteousness, he will provide your needs. How will you stay in this peace? There was a prisoner talking to me about drugs, and it wrecked his marriage. I don't know if he got divorced. I don't know all the details. He just basically said it wrecked his marriage. He was doing drugs. I don't remember what kind it was. All I know is he was saying he was so paranoid and just he was accusing his wife of doing all these things and getting mad, and I don't know if he's abusive. I don't know. All I know is his marriage was wrecked because of drugs. But let me tell you, being saved doesn't take away your brain, does it? And if you're not full of the peace of God, and even if you are, at night, do you ever wake up with bad dreams? I told Brian about this one 6 months or a year ago. I woke up and there was cracks in the roof. And the devil was looking right down through me with these huge, beady, big white eyes. And I woke up and I was just like, oh man, I hadn't had a nightmare like that in years and years and years. And if I, as I laid there, it was just like it just kept coming at me. And so I had to get up and get on my knees and pray and read my Bible. And the Lord gave me the peace, because I knew the devil wasn't going to come. I know he's around, but if I trust in the Lord, he shall give me that perfect peace. And that's how I got it. And we all wake up, we all have dreams, you all have thoughts. And if you lay there and try to go back to sleep, it just keeps gnawing like a little pack rat in there, right? Or the little Pac-Man they used to, the video game. It just keeps going and keeps going. And if you don't get up and pray and read the Bible, that stuff's just going to keep gnawing at you. Just like the guy that was on drugs, right? And you come up with all these things. I mean, if you're like anything like me, I know you've done this. You start imagining all these things. If you don't get up and pray and talk to the Lord, you know, that stuff will consume you. You know, you need to, and our battle is with what is spiritual things, and the devil goes about to seek who he can devour. And we need to get up and do those things to battle those thoughts. But he was talking about the drugs, you know, messing him up so bad. Even one of the other guys said, well, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have been on the drugs. But I never did get to tell him. I said, but it can happen without the drugs. You have those dreams. If you don't battle that flesh and get up and pray, it can get at you. So we have that peace through Jesus Christ. And how do we have better peace? Praying, reading, fellowshipping with Christians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. After Philippians and before Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm sorry, I had you turn now. I'm just going to jump around a few verses in there. If you want to look through that, you can. If we want this peace, first of all, it is to save Christians, walking with the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing, he says in there, toward the end of that chapter. In all things give thanks. That means thanking God. He didn't say thank him for all things. He said in all things give him thanks. Even if you've got a broken back or you're in whatever, we still need to thank God, especially if we're a saved Christian. Thank him that we have salvation. Thank him. He says rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord. Quench not the spirit. What is quench? On a cold day you drink that cold water, it feels so good. Well, you can quench the Holy Spirit by living in sin. Knowingly, willingly living in sin, you'll quench the Holy Spirit. How can you be filled with this peace if you're knowingly living in sin? You'll quench the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Back up about 10 pages or so in your Bible. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, that Holy Spirit, and I think most of you are, but there's some not, that Holy Spirit came in us the day we got born again. I've got the Holy Spirit. How can I grieve him? Well, knowingly, willingly living in sin. That's going to grieve him. I'm pretty blunt with the guys there. I said, but if you're looking at that dirty magazine and making the Holy Spirit of Jesus look at that with you, you're grieving the Holy Spirit big time. And we could go on and on. If we're being lazy, we're doing this, we're doing that, you know, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is really good. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I was telling that young lady that yesterday. Look at that. You're sealed? I said, what is sealed unto the day of redemption? Well, she said, when Jesus takes me home, when I die. I said, yeah, amen, sister. And we're sealed unto that day. If you're born again, that means, in John, he says, I'm in his hand and no man can pluck me out of his hand. And I'm sealed unto the day of redemption when I am redeemed and get a new heavenly body. Wow. These are things about peace that we can be trusting in and letting him work through us. In verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Jesus died and forgave me when I asked him to forgive me and ask him to save me. And he did that for me. So if he forgave me for all I've ever done, shouldn't I forgive other people? What does he say? 70 times 7? You know, if they're willing, if they're repentant, forgive them. Be kind, tenderhearted. If we're doing these things, we're going to have more peace. Do you have this peace? First, we must say, be saved. I know I said that before. We must be saved, born again. Then we need to walk and talk and live out our faith. Be obedient and be wise. Just like a while ago. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Exercise your faith. You're not going to exercise it sitting in front of the TV. You're not going to exercise it never reading your Bible. If you got dust all over you, how are you exercising your faith? If you never talk to anybody about Jesus that saved you, if you never give out a tract, you never do any of this stuff, you're not exercising your faith. You know, coming to church, there's a form of exercising. All these things are exercise. We need to walk with Him. Sharing your love of Jesus will give you peace through obedience and wisdom. Wow, isn't that something? Sharing your love of Jesus will give you peace through obedience and wisdom. Proverbs 11:30. We were going to go back to Philippians, so I did want to show you. And if you want to just listen, that's fine. Proverbs 11:30. I love that verse. I say that about a lot of verses, but God's word is awesome. He said, He has magnified His word above all His name. You can't get saved without the name of Jesus, can you? The Bible says that. And He says He magnified His word above all His name. Verse 30, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life? Wow. We can have a tree of life? Yeah, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Remember I just said wise, the peace of being wise, obedience and wisdom. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We want to be wise. It's one of the very clearest verses in our Bible that tells us if we want to be wise, we need to win souls. Can I save a flea? No. Can I save a person? No. But I can win them for Jesus. And how do I do that? I give them the Word. And His Word works in them. His Holy Spirit works in them. But I got to give them the Word. Somebody's got to give them the Word. You know, if somebody never heard the Word, how are they going to get saved? How are they going to trust in the name of Jesus if they've never heard it? You're hearing it now. You've got the opportunity. We need to grow in this. Sharing your love, the fruit of righteousness, the tree of life, he that winneth souls is wise. Back in Philippians 4:8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go ahead and read 7 and 8. And the peace of God, whose peace? God's peace, which passeth all understanding, we can't even comprehend it all, shall keep your hearts and your minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. That's how we're saved. That's how we can have peace. And look at verse 8. Finally, he's talking to Christians, believers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. You want peace of mind? Think on those things. Ask Jesus, what do you want me to do today? How am I supposed to be walking? Who am I supposed to be talking to? I loved it when Nick used to get telemarketer calls. He'd just start telling, you know about Jesus? Do you know what John 3:3 says? Do you know? You know, he just start witnessing to telemarketers. Well, you know, gradually they got the idea and they quit calling. He wasn't doing it to get him caught. I used to do it. I didn't do it to get him to quit calling. I'd say, hey, it's a free opportunity to tell somebody about my Savior. You know, and we can do that anywhere we are. And if you don't have time, that's why I carry a pocket full of tracts. Do you have this peace? Notice he said, think on these things. What did he say? Think on those things. There was a whole list of them. Pure, lovely, honest. Think on these things. What is that? Mind, think, peace of mind. If you're thinking on all those things, you're going to have a much greater peace of mind. But if you're watching the kill 'em videos and the horror movies and the garbage and just chasing the world and doing all the sinful stuff, how are you going to have any peace when the devil's just filled you full of garbage? My nephew told me one time, he says, you know, and I'm going to put it a little different, but he kind of told me this right after 6 months or a year after we got saved. One day we got out of church, he's talking about it. What's on television? You know, how many would let somebody come in your house and just start doing vulgar acts? Take their clothes off. Doing stupid, being horribly mean. I mean, you're going to run them out. My kids are in here, you know. But we let it come in on our cell phone. We let it come in our TV. We let it come on our computer, our iPads. It was a battle after several years of teaching, and we started having to use a computer all the time and emails, and the spam mail would come up. Oh, come talk to me. Oh, click. It was a battle because I don't know who does that, and it is worse, I know, today. I hear all these horror stories of kids getting involved. And if you're not monitoring your kids, I know somebody very personally close. Their kids were on the phone, the computer, laptop, and they had internet open, and they're starting talking to people who they didn't know and looking at things, and it's just in your face. And if you don't think they're going to see it, think back when you were a kid, what you saw you shouldn't have seen or something. We need to have the peace. It's think on those things. Think on Him. Mind, think, peace of mind. Back in Isaiah 9:6. I don't think we'll be back in Philippians. If we do, I'll just read it to you. Just a couple more. Isaiah 9:6. I memorized this partly because of Jehovah's Witnesses. Because they want to say He's only got one name and Jesus isn't God. And other religions do that too. I could name a bunch of them. But they just say, oh no, Jesus was just a prophet. He was just a good teacher. He was just by the way, He couldn't have been a good teacher, could He? Because He called Himself God. He healed, did miracles. He accepted worship. And He called Himself God. Would a good teacher call themselves God? No. He was God in the flesh. But in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, not just Jehovah, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You want peace? You need the Prince, right? Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. So if we want peace, first of all, we got to get born again. We need Jesus Christ and to be saved. And then we need to allow Him, His Holy Spirit, to fill us. Stay out of sin, be working for Him, reading His Word, praying, singing to Him. And the more we do that, the more the Holy Spirit can fill us and give us this peace that we read in that first verse in Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him, whoever that's saved, in perfect peace, without errors, whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. That's how we can have that peace. Sharing your love, sharing your faith. 2 Corinthians 13:11. And I won't promise you because I do it too often at the prison. I'll say, well, that's the last one. Oh, no, here's another one. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 13:11. Chapter 13, verse 11, 2 Corinthians. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. Perfect is not sinless. It's doing the right thing. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. How many minds? One mind, single-minded, peace of mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Who's going to be with you? The God of peace, Jesus Christ. The peace that passeth all understanding. Romans 15:33. Right before Corinthians. Romans 15:33. Last verse in chapter 15 in Romans. And God's word says, now the God of peace.
Who?
The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Have you got the God of peace? Have you got Jesus Christ? I trust most of you have, but if you hadn't, you need to trust Him and receive Him personally. And if you've got Him, what are you doing with Him? I tell them all the time there. We won the trophies in the parade the other day, right? And if I didn't show you the picture, I got them with me. I'll show you if you want to see a picture of the car and the float. But we got a first place trophy. The church did with the float and our old car with the chariot of fire and the horses of fire and Elijah. Woo! Can you imagine that? In a whirlwind. Denise even made a cute whirlwind, put it on the antenna. Can you imagine flying up? I think of that sometimes. Jesus, how am I going to go one day? I mean, you know, I wondered about Nick when he's riding along, boom, hit the deer and he flew 60 feet. I'm going to go crazy here. He flew 60 feet and broke his neck. I still wonder this day, is he flying through the air and whoom, he goes that way and his body hits the ground? I've always wondered that. It really doesn't matter. He's with Jesus. Nicholas was born again, but he hit that deer and he flew 60 feet and his neck was snapped like that. Boom. I mean, when I go, I'd rather go that way than pain and suffering for months and years. My mom was a cripple for 40 years. Her last 10 years was never out of bed. But she got saved a few days before she died. But what are we going to be doing when He calls us home? Do you have that peace? The more you trust Him, the more you live for Him, the more peace you will have. You know, none of this is going to matter except what we've done for Christ will last. I forget the first part of it. What kind of peace do you have? This is not a false peace of the world or a fake peace of the Antichrist that'll come in the last days. This is a real peace that passeth all understanding. It's a perfect peace, and it's in whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee, the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray.